Okay, so we're doing the Kingdom of God series, and we're in a little section called the Entry to the Kingdom. And so far, we've seen that entry to the kingdom is by repentance, Pete said, turning away from sin and turning to Jesus. Entry to the kingdom's by a narrow gate. Silent last week, entry to the kingdom's by righteousness. And today, we're going to look at entry to the kingdom not being by riches. And the main account in scripture we're going to be looking at is the account of the rich young ruler. So that story about the rich young rulers in three of the four gospels, it's in Matthew chapter 19, it's in Mark chapter 10, and it's in Luke chapter 18. And the funny thing is, all three accounts are pretty much the same. So I've just chosen to look at the one from Mark. Okay, so if you can turn to Mark chapter 10, we'll just read the account together. So Mark chapter 10, and I'll start reading at verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, this is Jesus, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, and honour your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." And Peter began to say to him, "See, we've left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, and with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Did anyone go out while I was reading that? It suddenly got really quiet. That's good. So the first thing we see is this young ruler running up to Jesus, kneeling before him and asking him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So this guy is obviously keen, right? He's running. So he comes across as keen. And he also comes across as respectful and reverent because he kneels down before Jesus and he asks the most important question anyone can ask. "How do I inherit eternal life?" So even this man with all these great possessions still seeks after something more. And it's really interesting how Jesus answers him at first, isn't it? He says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So right off the bat, Jesus is redefining to this young man what his idea of what good is. And as we read through the story, it seems like this young man thought that he was good. But Jesus is saying that there's only one who is good, God alone. It's the same thing that the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3. He says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." And I think at the same time, Jesus didn't say that it was wrong for the young man to call him a good teacher, because Jesus is God, God the Son. But Jesus can also see that this young man might think that he's good enough to inherit the kingdom through his own stuff, through his own keeping of the law. And that's reflected in the question he asked Jesus, isn't it? Did you notice he says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? What must I do to inherit the kingdom? So Jesus starts asking the man if he knows some of the commandments. Now let's have a look at which commandments Jesus says in verse 19. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honour your father and mother. And the young man says he's kept all of those. Now I don't think there's any reason to think that he hasn't kept those ones. Like Jesus, in fact, Jesus doesn't challenge the truth of that, does he, at all? He looks at him and he loves him. And why does he love him? Because the young man thinks he's going to enter the kingdom by keeping the law, but he doesn't realise that he hasn't kept all the law. And just because someone's not getting it right, it doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love them. And this was a little bit of a light bulb moment for me when I was prepping this. And it's been a bit of a light bulb moment for me looking through the Kingdom series and studying it. But did you notice that Jesus didn't say to him, have you kept all of the commandments? He just listed a few, didn't he? But Jesus didn't ask him if he'd kept the main commandment. The main commandment, the essence of the law. And what is that? Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. When a lawyer of the Pharisees asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, what's the greatest commandment in the law, to test Jesus, Jesus answers and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. But instead of asking the rich young ruler directly, have you kept that commandment? Jesus asks him to do something to see whether he's kept those ones. He may have kept those other ones that Jesus listed, but has he kept the essence of the law? So what does he tell him to do? Sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength? And do you love your neighbour as yourself? And the young man went away grieved because he had great possessions. He couldn't keep the essence of the law. Do you see that? He might have been able to keep that other stuff, but the essence of it, he couldn't. And then Jesus said how difficult it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. In another place, the Bible says you can't serve two masters, God and money. And this is what's happening with this guy here. It's really true, and Naomi keeps reminding me that you don't know what he did afterwards. But in this moment, he went away sorrowful because he couldn't follow riches and Jesus. Now listen, it wasn't the riches themselves. It was the love of the riches. The riches had won his heart, and that meant that he couldn't love the Lord with all his heart, and he couldn't love his neighbour as himself because of his love for his possessions. The Bible says that it's not money per se that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And what was it stopping the young man doing? It was stopping the young man fully trusting Jesus. And this is the thing. The love of his possessions, the grip they had on him, was preventing him from trusting Jesus. Having faith in what Jesus was saying to him. See, there's two ways to be made right before God. Two ways. One of them is by keeping all of the law. And that means all of it. And that means the essence of it, what Jesus said, loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, loving your neighbour as yourself. If you break just one tiny bit, you're done. In Romans chapter 2, verse 13, the apostle says to the Jews who are trying to earn their righteousness through the law, that it is not hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be made right with God. But then he goes on to say and show them that there's none who are good. No one's ever kept all the law perfectly except one, Jesus. So that first way to get right with God, by keeping the law, that's out for all of us because none of us have done it. And that's what Jesus was showing the rich young ruler. You might think you're stacking up, but you can't do the essence of it. He's saying no one's ever loved the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind and strength. But then Paul reveals another way that we can be made right with God. And in chapter 3 he says this: but there's a righteousness of God that's been manifested or revealed apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. So you're like, what is it? What is it? Because that first way doesn't work for me because I've broken the law. So what's this other way then? The righteousness of God through faith in Christ to all who believe. That's amazing, isn't it? We've stuffed up that other way, but God's made another way to get right with him, and it's just through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Believing Jesus. Being made right with God, entering into the kingdom, is through faith in Jesus, trusting him, believing him, following him. See, the young man didn't trust Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a mad question. Do you think if the young man had went away and done what Jesus told him to do, he would have inherited the kingdom of God? Do you think that, like, if he sold all his possessions and gave them to the poor and followed Jesus, that he would have inherited the kingdom? I do. Because Jesus isn't a liar. And when he said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? He said, sell your stuff, give it to the poor, follow me. Jesus isn't a liar. If the guy had done that, would he have inherited the kingdom? I believe he would have. Would he then have been made right before God by his works? No. He would have been made right by his faith, doing what Jesus told him to do. That would have been faith for him in that moment. Obeying Jesus. Do you get that? That was a mad light bulb moment for me. Faith is trusting in what Jesus says, believing him. So if that guy had believed Jesus and done, he would have inherited the kingdom. Not by what he'd done, but because he trusted in Jesus. And he'd done what Jesus told him to do. And he followed him. Jesus knew the sticking point for the rich young ruler. And he pressed him on it. Does Jesus tell everyone to sell everything they have and follow him? No. But he does know what's stopping you. He does know what your sticking point is, and he's pressing you on it. He might not be saying sell everything, but he is saying follow me. He is saying trust me and follow me. So what is stopping you? What is stopping you committing your life fully to Jesus? The young man had everything materially that you could want. But Jesus said he lacked one thing. Him. You can have nothing in this world, but if you've got Jesus, you've got everything. And you can have everything in this world, and if you haven't got Jesus, you've got nothing. And that's why Jesus said at the end, there's many who are first that will be last, and the last first. Do you know, it thrills my heart to know that there's people on this earth who are like the poorest people going, who are going to be like princes in heaven, who are going to be princesses in heaven, because they trusted in Jesus. And there's going to be rich people on this earth who have nothing because they didn't have Jesus. For the rich young ruler, trusting in Jesus meant selling everything he had. But whatever he would lose, and whatever we would lose by trusting and following Jesus, is dwarfed by the glory of gaining Jesus and inheriting our place in the kingdom of God, inheriting eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, whatever you're pressing us on that's our sticking point, I just pray that you'll give us the grace to just trust you and to just follow you, to take you at your word and trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen.